Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, the king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not be a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it nor after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled, and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus saith the Lord, thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees until they were hanging upon the trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel with him, unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did to the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came out to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon. But he destroyed it utterly, and the souls, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it, and he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, as I told you this morning, we have this campaign, but Joshua does not raise himself up and say, okay, let's start the campaign into the promised land. This is due to the oath that they made before the Lord and the league that they made with the Gibeonites. Now, of course, that is a secondary cause. We understand that it's a second cause, not a first cause. God, of course, being the author, the cause of these things. But still, God, by the machinations of the Gibeonites, and by the taking of the vow and the honoring of that vow, puts the Israelites in league with the Gibeonites, Joshua and his men with the men of Gibeon. And so when Gibeon is attacked, it is just like they are attacking Israel. So Joshua and the company raise themselves up out of Gilgal. They're still camped over at Gilgal, over by River Jordan, way over here on the east. And so they come, and they come speedily by night. They traversed the entire distance. Now, that's a march. But they did. They traversed it in one night, and they came to the defense of the Gibeonites, and the Lord gave them success. Not only did He give them success with that particular battle, He gave them success as they traveled around from city to city and destroyed every one of those cities of the hill country and the vale and the streams and so on. And that is all that area that is out there on the western side of the Dead Sea. If you have your maps, I know you have maps now because we just gave them to you. So you can look those up later and you can see where all those cities are out to the western side there of the Dead Sea. Find the Dead Sea, go west, and you'll see all those cities. That's where they are. There should be a map there that talks about the conquest of Joshua. Did you see the object lesson that the Lord gave them? What a great object lesson it was. The five kings of those five cities, those city-states, those city-nations, if you will, they were independent governments in and of themselves. They were kings, and from time to time, now and again, they would ally themselves with one another. And so they were ready to go up against Gibeon. Why Gibeon? Well, because Gibeon was three cities and really a pretty formidable force. They took Ai, Joshua and his men took Ai on the second try, you remember, and it was a slaughter. Well, Ai was nothing compared to Gibeon. And these Gibeonites, they came to Joshua, laid down their arms right away because they knew that God was fighting for them. And so they made friends with the people of Israel. And so here we have them calling then upon Israel for deliverance. And Joshua and his men march all night and they come and they rout them in battle. Then they rout them in their cities. But before they rout them in their cities, they do something very interesting. See, those five kings, I'm sure they had their safe perch where they watched their soldiers do battle. And they saw that the battle was not going well for them. So they all retreated and came to a cave near a town called Makkedah. And they hid themselves in that cave for fear. And it was reported to Joshua and his men. This is very interesting what Joshua did. He says, put rocks, put stones, great stones in the mouth of the cave and don't let them escape. So they imprisoned them in this cave. So then they come up, Joshua and his men, and they remove the stones, and Joshua calls all of the princes of the people, all of the rulers, and he says, y'all come up front here. I want you to see something. And so they bring those five men, those five kings out, probably still dressed in their royal array. Oh, maybe a little scuffed up and dirty, but still dressed in their kingly attire, brings them out and has them lay prostrate before the princes of Israel. And then he does something even greater than that. He says, come near. Take your foot and put it on the necks of these kings. Wow. You see, God is taking that opportunity to teach His people that there is no army that is able to stand against the armies of the living God. What is required of the armies of the living God but that they obey His voice, remain faithful to Him? They've already seen the results of unfaithfulness, haven't they? The results of unfaithfulness are defeat and loss. Remain faithful to the Lord. Remain faithful to what He has called you to do. And come forward and place your feet on the necks of these rulers. So will the Lord do to everyone, all the kings of Canaan, because the Lord has given to us that land. They're squatters on our land. What a great object lesson for the people of God. How do we bring that into the new covenant? Are not your enemies defeated? Hasn't Christ come forward? And has not He put His foot on the neck of your enemy? Has not He crucified the world to you and you to the world, as the Apostle Paul said? Has He not, in Galatians chapter 5, as the Apostle Paul said, they that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts? Has He not delivered you from the power of sin? Has He not delivered you from the power of death? Do you not cry out with the Apostle Paul? O grave, where is your victory? Death! Where is your sting? You see, there is deliverance in Christ. Your enemies are lying prostrate on the ground before you with Christ's foot upon their necks. We don't need to answer them any longer. We don't need to hear them any longer. They hold no sway with us. The only sway they hold is the sway that we grant unto them. Your enemies are defeated, brothers and sisters. In Christ, your feet are on their necks. The world, the flesh, and the devil are defeated. No matter how they continue to conspire against you, they are holed up in a cave. They have no power over you. And so none will stand before the advance of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is her head. And if they stick fast, or as the Apostle Paul says, if they hold fast to the head, there will be no army, no gate able to stop her advance. Thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 10. Let's stand and continue praying.